who was president of Selma University, Selma, Alabama, in 1942, when the commencement address was delivered by Dr. George Washington Carver of Tuskegee Institute. Because Dr. Carver was not able to make the trip to Selma, his address was transcribed on a master disc before a small audience in the chapel of Tuskegee Institute 1 week before commencement. With the use of the facilities of radio station WAPI of Birmingham and the United States Agricultural Extension Service under Mr. T.J. Campbell, the program was played at 11:30 a.m. on commencement day by radio station WHBB in Selma and was heard in the Dixon Memorial Chapel through a receiving set placed on the platform. Because of the loss of the master disc and of several copies that were made from it by station WHBB, it became necessary to reconstruct the program. And this was possible because Mr. S.J. Phillips, a prominent industrial promoter of Tuskegee Institute, had extracted Dr. Carver's remarks into another disc for commercial use. Mrs. Willie Lewis King of Selma, hearing me say at a Dallas County Teachers Institute meeting that the voice of Dr. Carver had been lost, told me that she had a copy of the speech. It turned out to be one of the copies extracted by Mr. Phillips. Then we found a copy of the mimeograph manuscript of the program, furnished to every graduate of the Selma University class of 1942 by Mr. T.J. Campbell, in the hands of Reverend Anderson B. Browder of Selma. From the disc and the manuscript, the other parts of the program were re-spoken by Dr. C.W. Kelly of Tuskegee Institute, who introduced Dr. Carver, and by myself. We could not locate the announcer, and so Mr. P.L. Rosen of Selma University kindly consented to read the words of the announcer, who was Mr. Jim Romine of Station WAPI. The whole program was put together by my sister, Miss E.L. Dayton, at the studio of the Little Red Schoolhouse in Selma on Friday, April 23, 1965, with the use of her facilities. At the sound of the bell, the program will be given as it was given nearly 23 years ago. So far as I know, this is the only record of the voice of Dr. George Washington Carver in existence, and we have gone to no little pains to preserve this voice for future generations. Through the long process of gathering these materials together, Dr. James H. Orman, the present president of Selma University, has followed the movement with interest and assistance, for which we thank him, along with thanking all others who had a hand in the final product. You will now hear the bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, today at 7:30, the 1942 commencement exercises are now in progress in the new Dayton North Tower. The following program was transcribed at the Tuskegee Institute through the editor and facilities of Alabama Extension Service. You will now hear an address by Dr. George Tony Carver, noted scientist of the Tuskegee Institute. Dr. Justin H. Dayton, president of Selma University, is presiding.
Chairman M.C. Cleveland, State and National Baptist President D.D. Jensen, trustees, faculty, students, candidates, date for graduation from the senior high school, the junior college, and the senior college of Selma University, and friends of the university assembled in the 59th annual commencement and the close of the 65th annual session of Selma University, Selma, Alabama. And to those outside of this family, of this assembly, who in their various places are hearing what we say here, I take great pleasure in presenting to you the Reverend Mr. Charles W. Kelly, D.D., graduate of Fisk University and honorary alumnus of Selma University, who is pastor of the Greenwood Baptist Church, Tuskegee Institute, Alabama, and the Mount Lovely Baptist Church, Camp Hill, Alabama, a member of the faculty of Tuskegee Institute, and a teacher missionary in the Institute under appointment from the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, as well as chaplain of the United States Veterans Facility No. 91 at Tuskegee. The Reverend Mr. Kelly will introduce to us the speaker of this occasion.
Selma University is fortunate to have the audience tonight. And having Dr. George Washington Carver as commencement speaker, a host of people know Dr. Carver personally, and many more know of his marvelous work and discovery. It is fitting in introducing him today to say a word about his achievements. He was born of slave patterns in Diamond Grove, Missouri, in 1864. After graduating from high school in Minneapolis, Kansas, he attended Iowa State College and graduated with the degree of B.S. and M.S. He was the first director of agriculture at Tuskegee Institute, the Royal Society of Art, London, England, and appeared before the Congressional Ways and Means Committee in Washington, D.C. in 1921, Dignon Methodist in 1923, Roosevelt Methodist for Distinguished Service in Science, 1939, received Humanitarian Award plaque and $1,000 from the Rise Club of America, 1941. Received degree of Doctor of Science from University of Rochester, 1941. Dr. Carver has spoken at the leading colleges and universities of America. The George Washington Carver Museum was established at Tuskegee Institute in 1938. This museum houses Dr. Carver's priceless collection, his offices and laboratories, and the office of his assistant, Mr. Austin W. Tracy. The museum, through a wide variety of exhibits, give some idea of the versatility and industry of Dr. Carver. Here they need steam, paint, stains, and varnishes from Alabama clay, artificial marble made from wood shapes, beautiful wall hangings from bead sacks and strings, rugs and mats from okra and iron fiber, and charming landscapes from watercolors that began as coffee grounds and orange seeds. In his museum, the farmer may study diseases of the company farm in various stages of development. Here also are Alabama's fruits and vegetables canned 35 years ago. Also, ceramics, and more than 300 products from the Umbro Kingdom. 118 tons from the sweet potato and hundreds of tons from waste material. Also in the museum is Dr. Calvin's recently established art collection, which is open to the public. Here the visitor may see Dr. Calvin's paintings in order and paintings from Alabama City. Some of his paintings have been requested by the famous Luxembourg Gallery in Europe. One room houses Dr. Calvin's collection of needle work containing in hundreds of patterns by the eminent scientist in his bare home. It is needless to add that this museum is the only one of its kind in the world, created and established by a Negro, and today maintained by a Negro institution. The public is cordially invited to visit this museum at any time. On December 10, 1940, the George Washington Carver Foundation was incorporated under the laws of the state of Alabama. And to further express the true humanitarian spirit that has characterized his life, Dr. Carver gave his life-saving of $33,000 to the establishing of this foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Thomas.
Thank you.
lawyers, farmers, missionaries, women, housewives, leaders in every field of life, police and army officers have gone out from these walls. In Africa stands a hospital founded by the National Baptist Convention, a monument to the sacrifice and ability of an ingrowing graduate of Selma University, who was its first physician and who now resides in Selma, Alabama. The cemetery of the National Baptist Convention for 22 years was a graduate of Selma University, and now the president and first assistant secretary of this convention of the university. Recently, that died in the United States Army Service, its highest ranking chaplain, Colonel E.A. Carter, a graduate of Selma University. While we have been supported almost wholly by the Negro Baptists of Alabama, yet we have had the cooperation for many years of the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, whose headquarters is in Atlanta, Georgia, and of the Alabama Baptist State Mission Board, with headquarters in Montgomery. We have also had the help of the American Baptist Home Mission Society in New York, the June S. Peter Fund, the Jesus Rosenwald Fund, the General Education Board, besides constituent conventions and associations of our state convention. In this day, when new fields of service are opening to us, and when enlargement of our program is demanded, when obligations long due must be met, it is not out of place to remind our friends, both old and new, that Selma University is a proper and splendid channel of investment of the Lord's money, and those who desire information regarding its work and program will find a cheerful response awaiting them.
Transpiring from the Chapel of the Media Institute. The Media Institute, and the Trustee of the Institute, and the Trustee of the Institute,